Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, continue reading about the manners and etiquettes of the carriers of the Qur'an, the people of knowledge, the people of the Sunnah. We have seen that they have conduct and manners that they're distinguished by, and at the head of that is at-taqwa lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and they obey Him in public and in private, and they strive against their soul to establish the rights of Al-Islam inwardly and outwardly. And they do that with a heart that is alive, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal and His promise, and fearing His punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, they strive to prefer that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal over that which their own souls call them to from the delights and the pleasures and desires of this life, and from the thing that they're most concerned with regards to their body parts and organs after their heart, is their tongue. We have seen that in the previous class, the author, he mentioned about them, حَافِظًا لِلِسَانِهِ, someone who preserves and maintains, protects, guards his tongue, وَمَيِّزًا لِكَلَامِهِ, distinguishing the words that he says. إِن تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ بِعِلْمٍ, if he speaks with knowledge. إِذَا رَأَى الْكَلَامَ الصَّوَابًا, if he finds that speaking is appropriate at that particular time. When سَكَتَ سَكَتَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ كَانَ السُّكُوتُ صَوَابًا, and whenever he's silent based upon knowledge likewise. And this is whenever being silent is appropriate. So there's a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. And the people of the Qur'an, they have knowledge and they have light and insight, and they're able to distinguish these affairs, when they should speak and how they should speak, and what they should say. And we have seen a number of narrations and benefits with regards to speaking and being silent and checking one's tongue and the dangers of one's tongue. Likewise, the author, he mentioned, we read in our previous class, قَلِيلِ الْخَوْلِ فِيمَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ, it's a person, the people of the Qur'an, they're people who do not delve into that which does not concern them. They do not delve into that which does not concern them. And he mentioned, rahimahullah, يَخَافُ مِن لِسَانِهِ أَشَدَّ مِمَّا يَخَافُ مِن عَدُوِّهِ يَحْبِسُ لِسَانَهُ كَحَبْسِهِ لِعَدُوِّهِ لِيَأْمَنَ مِن شَرِّهِ وَسُوءِ عَقِبَتِهِ, that he fears the consequences of his tongue, of his speech, more than he fears his enemy. He restrains his tongue as he would restrain an enemy, to protect himself from its harm and dire consequences. We have seen in our previous class, likewise, as a review, that if a person, he is not careful, his tongue can take him away from the straight path. And his tongue and the words that he says can lead him to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his statements can be a means, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to invalidate great actions of goodness, be a means to invalidate and nullify the reward of great righteous and good deeds. Likewise, we have seen narrations with regards to these affairs. So we continue reading from where we had left off, and the author, he says, رَحِيمَهُ قَلِيلُ الضَّحِكِ مِمَّا يَضْحَكُ مِنْهُ النَّاسِ لِسُوءِ عَقِبَةِ الضَّحِكِ إِنْ سُرَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا يُوَافِقُ الْحَقَّ تَبَسَّمَ يَكْرَهُ الْمِزَاحَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّعِبِ وَإِنْ مَزَحَ قَالَ حَقًّا بَاسِطُ الْوَجْهِ طَيِّبُ الْكَلَامِ لَا يَمْدَحُ نَفْسَهُ بِمَا فِيهِ فَكَيْفَ بِمَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ. He said he laughs little at what the people find amusing. He laughs little and what the people find amusing, for he knows the negative consequences of excessive laughter. If he rejoices or shows happiness in something that aligns with the truth, he merely smiles. He will make a smile, or he will laugh lightly without raising his voice and going to extremes. He dislikes joking out of fear of falling into frivolity. And if he does joke, he speaks only the truth. He is pleasant in demeanor and kind in speech, never praising himself for what he possesses, let alone for what he does not have. With regards to the affair of laughter, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has clarified the methodology and the way, and the straight path in all affairs of life is the moderate path, a path that is between two extremes, going too extreme and beyond the boundaries, and likewise being negligent. And the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all of his affairs was the moderate path. And the people of knowledge, they say, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا لَا تَفْرِيطُهَا وَلَا إِفْرَاطُهَا خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا لَا تَفْرِيطُهَا وَلَا إِفْرَاطُهَا. لا تفريطها ولا إفراطها. That the best of the affairs, the most noble and the most virtuous, are that which is in moderation, the one that is in the middle, not going to extremes on the right, going overboard, nor going to extremes on the left, being negligent and not fulfilling the rights or the affairs in the proper manner. It's been collected by At-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من يأخذ عني هؤلاء الكلمات فيعمل بهن ويعلم من يعمل بهن. من يأخذ عني هؤلاء الكلمات فيعمل بهن أو يعلم من يعمل بهن. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will take from me? Who will take from me these statements here? Who will take from me these statements here and apply them? Or teach them to somebody who will apply them? Or teach them to somebody who will apply them. فقال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قلت أنا يا رسول الله فأخذ بيدي فعد خمسا وقال. At this time Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, he said, I will, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, so he took me by my hand and he numbered five affairs. And he numbered صلى الله عليه وسلم five affairs وقال. And he said, اتق المحارم تكون أعبد الناس. Fear, avoid and leave off that which is forbidden, you'll be the most devout of the people in worship. You'll be the most devout and sincere of the people in worship. اتق المحارم تكون عباد الناس. If you leave off and avoid that which is forbidden, you'll be the most devout and sincere of the people in worship. So we've seen in our previous classes likewise that from the high levels of the people of Quran, the high status of the people of the Sunnah, and the great virtue of the true and sincere slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal is that they establish the commandments, no doubt about that, but along with that they avoid and stay away from the prohibitions. And this is many times the distinguishing factor between the righteous from the believers and those who are lesser than that. And those who are lesser than that. Those who are strong and sincere and truthful with Allah and their faith, and those who have deficiency and weakness with regards to that. That which will determine these affairs many times lies in avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. Because the believers in general, all of them are establishing the good deeds. All of them are praying. All of them are fasting. As we see in these days in Ramadan, many of the believers are fasting. The majority of them are all fasting, the good and the bad. But not all of them are lowering their gaze. And not all of them are checking their tongue. And not all of them are concerned about where their finances are coming from or how they treat those under their care, or their manners and their conduct and their dealings and the likes like this. Rather, many of them, they're fasting at the same time they're backbiting the people, or they're carrying tales, or they're spreading lies, or they're taking wealth that is unlawful, or they're engaged in interest and the likes like this, or other affairs that are from the major sins, that are from the major sins. So these major sins have a great effect on one's faith, and likewise on one's heart, and likewise thus on one's level and rank and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, he wants to be from the most devout and sincere and the best of the slaves of Allah azza wa jal, then no doubt one, he must establish those rites of al-Islam and perform the good deeds. But along with that, he must avoid and stay away from the prohibitions. اتق المحارم تكون عبد الناس. Avoid and stay away from that which is forbidden, you'll be the most devoted, sincere and worship from the people. The second one, وَرَ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَسَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. And be pleased and content with that which Allah has decreed for you from provision and from events that will occur in your life. You accept the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla and you suffice that which Allah has provided you from that which is lawful and good. تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. You'll be the wealthiest of the people. You'll be the richest of the people. And this is because true wealth and richness, it lies in the heart. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلْغِنَى Ghina and nafs, that true ghina, true wealth and true richness is the contentment of the soul. Is the contentment of the soul that a person, he will be content and pleased with Allah as the Lord. Meaning accepting the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. The universal decrees and the calamities that befall and the situations and circumstances that Allah has decreed that would occur in one's life, and also the legislative command, accepting them wholeheartedly and complying to them to the best of one's ability. In this manner, a person, he will find great contentment and peace and ease of mind and heart. And true happiness, it lies in the heart, and it's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it comes from responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of these affairs have proceeded in our previous class. This is a reminder. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the third affair, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا, and do good, be kind to your neighbor, and you will be a believer. And you will be a believer, meaning a true believer. So from the rites of faith that are obligatory in order for the iman to be established and complete, one must be kind to the neighbor. And at bare minimum, he will not harm them. At bare minimum, he will not harm them, not with his vehicles, not with his family, not with anything. He will not harm his neighbors. He will not harm his neighbors. They will be safe from his harm. They will be safe from his harm. This is from Al-Iman. This is from Al-Iman. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, that whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him honor his neighbor. Then let him honor his neighbor. We've seen in our previous class the dangers of the tongue and what happened to the woman who was a devout worshiper, yet she used to harm her neighbors with her tongue. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that she'll be in the fire, meaning that that harm that she did to her neighbors with her tongue invalidated many of the righteous and good deeds. Invalidated many of the righteous and good deeds. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ, and you should love for the people what you love for yourself. And it's not numbered in the narration, but I'm numbering them. Yeah, barakallahu fik. The fourth issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُونَ مُسْلِمًا, and love for the people what you love for yourself, and you'll be a Muslim. You'll be a Muslim, meaning you'll be a true Muslim. You'll be a true Muslim. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, al-muslimu man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, that a true Muslim, he's the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. And the narration is well known. And some wordings of the narration, in al-muslimu man salima al-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi, that a true Muslim is the one who the people, and not only the Muslims, are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So a true Muslim, his Islam will carry him to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. A true believer, his faith will carry him to comply to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to fear Allah in public and in private, and to rectify his conduct and his manners, and to treat the people in the manner pleasing to Allah. So his dealings will not be with the people, rather his dealings are with Allah. This is from the piety in his heart. So he will deal with every circumstance and situation according to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not according to how the people deal with him. And from that, as a person, he would deal with the people the way that he would like to be dealt with. And this is a scale in checking oneself and weighing up his own actions and seeing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every dealing in life, no matter who we're dealing with from the people, if we take a step back and we look into our dealings with him, and we examine ourselves and our manners and our conduct with them. We examine ourselves and our manners and our conduct with them. And if we find that the way that we deal with these people is the way that we would like to be dealt with, if we were in their situation, then we had dealt with them in a manner pleasing to Allah. But if we ever find that we had treated someone or dealt with them in a particular manner, that had we been in their situation, we would not like the way that we dealt with them, whether they're a child, whether they're an adult, whether they're a friend, whether they're an enemy, whatever the case may be, this is the scale on dealing with the people according to that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we dealt with them in a manner that whenever we truly think about it, you know what, I would not like people to deal with me like that had I been in his shoes. Had I been in his situation, I would not like for people to talk to me like that or to deal with me like that or to handle the affair like that. I would prefer that it would be done in another manner. Then this is a sign that we did not do it in a manner pleasing and proper. So after this, the fifth affair, and this is the shahid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تُكْثِرْ الضَّحِكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ, and do not laugh often. Always laughing, because laughing often, it kills the heart. And enjoying oneself to extremes and laughing in extremes in the life like this, this is a means to weaken the heart and for the light of faith to become deficient, for a person to fall heedless. So this is what the author is mentioning here. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, qalilu dhahiki mimma yadhaku minhu an-nas li su'i aqibati dhahik, that he laughs little at what the people find amusing, for he knows the negative consequences of excessive laughter. What are the negative consequences of excessive laughter? إِمَاتَتُ الْقَلْبِ It will kill the heart. It will cause the heart to die. It will cause the heart to die, meaning it will put out the light of faith in one's heart. It will weaken one's deen, his religion, and it will bring deficiency. It will bring deficiency to the iman, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And he will start to show preference for the worldly life and show preference to laughter and having fun and taking things easy and not being serious. He'll become a joker. And people do not take jokers seriously. It's not forbidden to laugh, but this is done in a moderate manner. And the majority of the time, whenever the Prophet ﷺ was seen laughing, is just like he mentioned here. If he does laugh about something, if he does find something amusing, what will he do? Tabassama. He will smile. He will smile. And this is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. كان كثير التبسم. كان كثير التبسم. He was always smiling. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is because he was happy. He was happy. He had sincere faith in Iman. And he was the Imam and the leader of the righteous and and those who are happy and successful. So he was happy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he would smile. And he would always be seen smiling. So smiling is a good way. Smiling in the face of your brother and being cheerful. And the likes like this, this is all from a good way. From the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even there are times whenever there are certain circumstances when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would laugh more than normal. He would laugh more than normal in certain situations. Like the man, he came and he said, حَلَكْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَقَعْتُ عَلَى امْرَأَتِي فِي نَهَارِ رَمَضَانِ I've been destroyed. I had relations with my wife in the daytime of Ramadan and the situation and how it unfolded. In the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wound up laughing at the situation because of the man and how he had great desire and the likes for the charity that was given to him as a means to expiate his sin. And the narration is well known. The narration is well known. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he laughed. And there are other circumstances likewise where he would laugh. But this is not the common way. This is not the manners that he's known by. Rather, he's known by smiling. And he would laugh, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in moderation. And if he were to joke about something, he would only joke about that which is truthful. And he would not tell a lie. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So likewise, from the good way is to not lie. And lying is from the worst of all. It's from the worst of all sins. And from the traits of the pure hypocrites. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ Even whenever one is joking, he will not lie. There are many narrations about these affairs. Likewise, clarifying these issues. There was a woman, she was calling a child. To come to her. She has something in her hand. And then whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen that, he said, what is in your hand? And she had something. He said, if you had not had something, kutibat alayki kithba, it would be written against you as a lie. Even if you pretend to have something in your hand to call a child and to tell it, come here, I have something for you. And then whenever he gets there, you don't have anything. This is considered lying. And also this is cultivating the children upon lying. And is planting the seed of lying in their heart. And this is a foul and lowly way. Making them accustomed to lying even at an early age. Like it's something good or lawful. Or something that is allowed or normal. And this is not proper. So even if a person is joking or laughing, he will only say that which is true. We know the narration likewise of the woman. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking about Jannah. And she was an older woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say to her? لا يدخلها Ajuz, old women do not enter paradise. She said, "Oh Allah, ask me, oh Messenger of Allah, make dua for me to go to Jannah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Old women don't go to Jannah. Old women don't enter Jannah." So she became upset. She's going to cry. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that whenever the people enter paradise, they're not old. They enter paradise whenever they're young, and they'll come back to being at a young age. And he mentioned the verses that are in Surah Mada. Surah An-Najm, huh? Or Waqi'ah. Huh? Waqi'ah, huh? What is it? Uruban Atraba. You're right. It's right before that, though. Can't grab it from my mind. Somebody help us out. Uraban Atraban li ashab al yamin. Mamnu'a. وجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين وجعلناهن أبكارا أنويمها فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. So we have made them virgins, and he brought them back to young age, brought them back to young to young age, and the description is known. So this is when this was an example of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he would joke. This is an example of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he would joke. He would say the truth, even if he's in certain circumstances of danger and his life is at danger. And the likes like this, he still would not lie. One time he's on a journey and some people, and he's trying to conceal his whereabouts and who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and somebody asked him where he's from. He said, نحن من ماء. نحن من ماء. ماء means water. But in the area there, there's a place called ماء, which is a tribe. So the people, they're thinking that he's saying that we're from this tribe, but in reality, we're from ماء. يعني لأن الله خلق كل شيء حي. من ماء. خلق من ماء كل شيء حي. Because Allah, he created everything that is alive from water. So this is what he meant, and this is what he said, and this is what he intended, in order to not disclose his whereabouts and his and who he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the circumstances, because of the circumstances. So this is from the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions here, يَكْرَهُ الْمِزَاحَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّعَبِ. يَكْرَهُ الْمِزَاحَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّعَبِ. That he dislikes to joke around out of fear he will fall into frivolity. And he's playing around and joking and wasting time. Playing around and joking and wasting time. There's a narration from Muhammad ibn al-Munkadar. He's from the scholars of hadith. He died in the year 130, rahimahullah. He says, قَالَتْ لِي أُمِّي وَأَنَا غُلَامِ. قَالَتْ لِي أُمِّي وَأَنَا غُلَامِ. My mother told me whenever I was a young boy. A gulam is a young boy before the age of puberty, or around the age of puberty, and the likes like this. So his mother is giving him advice about this affair here, about knowledge, manners, and etiquettes. She says to him whenever he is a young boy, لَا تُمَازِحْ الْغِلْمَانِ. لَا تُمَازِحْ الْغِلْمَانِ. فَتَهُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يَجْتَرِئُ عَلَيْكَ. He said, my mother told me whenever I was a boy, do not joke too much with the other boys. Do not joke too much with the other boys. لَيْتَ الْأَوْلَادِ كَانُوا موجودين. If the little boys were only coming to class. My mother told me whenever I was a boy, do not joke too much with the other boys, lest you become insignificant to them, or they become bold towards you. Or else you will become insignificant to them, or they may become bold towards you. So a person who's always joking around, and he's always playing, they're not going to take him seriously. He's always playing. Somebody who's always playing. And again, lightheartedly, and sometimes in the right time and in the right manner, it's good. Especially whenever things are tough, like in traveling and the likes like this, it's from the manners of traveling to be lighthearted and to joke around a little bit, to ease the travels and to ease the journey and to make it easy and the likes like this. Or if somebody's having a stressful day, to lightheartedly joke with them, again, saying that which is true or something that is honest and correct, in order to put happiness in their heart or to lighten the hardship in the heart and the likes like this, this is okay. So again, all of this is with regards to moderation. So she's saying to him, do not joke too much with the boys. Do not play around with them too much. And this is because if you do that, then you'll become insignificant in their eyes. And they're going to treat you like nothing. They're not going to take you seriously. Or if that's not the case, they're going to start being bold against you. They'll start acting bold towards you. Any meaning they'll start taking advantage of you. Again, because they consider you to be insignificant. And many times this is the case. We find that the youth, or even sometimes the men, waliyadhi billah, they play around too much. So they'll play around and they'll say things, oh, I'm only joking. And then it leads to enmity. It leads to hatred. It leads to problems. And sometimes there are people who then themselves, they like to joke a whole lot. But then if somebody starts joking back with them, they get sensitive. They get sensitive and they get their feelings hurt, or they start crying, or the likes like this. And sometimes the youth, they do that likewise. Or even sometimes the men, waliyadhi billah. They'll joke, but then if you joke back with them the way they joke with you, they don't like it. So you don't joke. You don't joke in the first place. You don't play around like that. You don't do that. You don't become known for that. So the children likewise, the brothers, they should not do that. Should not play all the time. playing sometimes, joking sometimes, lightheartedly, this is okay. But whenever it becomes often, then it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem. Joking whenever they're playing basketball, many times it leads to fights, leads to arguments, it leads to disputes, and the likes like this. They're just joking at first. They're just joking at first, but then it leads to a bad outcome. It leads to a bad outcome. So this is a great advice from this woman for her child. Yani, Allahu Akbar. And he's a young boy. Do not play too much with the boys. لا تمازح الجمان فتهون عليهم, because you may become insignificant in their eyes. أو يجترئوا عليك, or they're going to start acting bold towards you. They're going to start acting bold towards you, and taking advantage of you, and the likes like this. So all of this is from the manners of the people of the Quran, from the manners of the people of the Quran. He says, "Rahimahullah, يحذر نفسه أن تغلب على ما تهوى مما يسخط مولاه لا يغتاب أحدا ولا يحقر أحدا ولا يسب أحدا ولا يشمت بمصيبة ولا يشمت بمصيبة." He said he guards himself from being overcome by desires that displease his Lord. He does not backbite anyone, belittle anyone, insult anyone, or gloat over anyone's downfall. This should be from our traits. يحذر نفسه أن تغلب على ما تهواه على ما تهوى مما يسقط مولاه. He guards himself from being overcome by desires that displease his Lord. He guards himself from being overcome by desires that displease his Lord. He does not backbite anyone. He does not backbite anyone from the desires that displease his Lord is to belittle others and to mock them or to mimic them or to put them down. And if that desire is not checked, it will be displayed in the tongue. The jealousy and the animosity or the rancor that is in the heart, if a person here does not check that with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and sincere faith, it will be displayed in his tongue. It will be displayed in his tongue. He will start to backbite the people or to belittle the people or to put down the people. And many times this is because of jealousy in his heart and enmity that he has for that person, and that he hopes to be in their place or better. So therefore, this foul disease in his heart will carry him to do these affairs, to backbite. So he's cautious, because in reality, these are issues that are easy. And the tongue is something that it does not wear out and get tired. Yani, backbiting the people is easy. Mocking the people is easy. Putting down the people is easy, either directly or indirectly. Some people, they'll do it directly, and others, they'll do it indirectly. And this is all from the means of, in reality, praising oneself. And this is what he was alluding to in the previous portion. He doesn't praise himself, any for things that he has, much less things that he does not have. And from the means of doing that is putting down others. And many people, that's what they do. They're very good at that. Putting down others, standing on their back to have high status and rank. Putting down others and standing on their back to have high status and rank. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is from the foul and lowly ways, and the corruption of the heart, and the intention, and not having sincerity in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this person here is a person of Quran. He's aware of all of these issues. He's aware of the ills of the soul, and the corruption of the heart, and the dangers of the tongue. And he strives against his own desires to avoid anything that will cause his Lord to be angry with him. So therefore, based upon that, لا يكتب أحد, he does not backbite anyone. What is backbiting? What is backbiting? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined that in a beautiful narration narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, collected by Al-Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Atadruna marghiba? Atadruna marghiba? Do you know what is backbiting? Qalu Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam." They said, the companions, what did they say? Allah and His Messenger know best, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكرك أخاك بما يكره ذكرك أخاك بما يكره, that you mention your brother in a manner he does not like. That you mention your brother, meaning in his absence, in a manner that you do not like. So this is a clear and concise definition of backbiting. A clear and concise definition of backbiting. What is it? ذكرك أخاك بما يكره. How many words is that? ذكرك, that's two, huh? Akhaka, there's two more. Bima, there's two more. How many is that? Six? Yakrahu, seven, eight, right? Eight words if you want to go to detail. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. This is backbiting. To mention your brother in a manner he does not like, meaning in his absence. Qila afara'aita in kana fihi ma aqul. So they said, no, it was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about if what I say about him is true? What about if what I say about him is true? And yeah, I'm not lying. And that's what some people, they say. No, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. He's really like that. I'm not lying. He's really like that. So this was asked. And it's a question that arises now. So what about if I'm saying something that's true about him? Meaning he doesn't like it, but it's true. And it's in his absence. قَالَ إِن كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اَكْتَبْتَهُ وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if what you said about him was true, then you have made backbiting. And if it was not true, then you have slandered him. So we have al-ghiba, and then we have al-buhtan. So al-ghiba is to backbite someone, and al-buhtan is to slander them. Which one is more severe? Slandering, ascribing to him foul and lowly traits, unlawful, unrightfully, things that are not true. To say bad about him and it's not true, that's much worse. What the other billah, that consists of lying and backbiting and lying. So it's even more severe. But backbiting is a major sin. Is a major sin. There's a narration from Anas radiallahu anhu that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seen a man from those who are being punished in the hereafter, and he had brass claws, and he's scratching his face and scratching his chest, and he has his fingernails from brass that are very sharp, and he's scratching and tearing his own face and his own chest. Wa liyadhi billah. Whenever he asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who this person was, it was mentioned that he's the one who says he says a lie. قَالَ كِذْبَ بَلَغَتْ الْأَفَاقِ. He said a lie that would reach the horizons. And today we have the means to say statements that reach the horizons with just a click of a button. Reach the horizons meaning all over the world. And it goes far and wide. So this is from the outcome of lying, that a person is threatened with a great punishment in the hereafter. This is a sign that it's a major sin, and it's a sign. This is a major sin. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He called the believers in the Quran to avoid and stay away from that. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhanna. Inna ba'dha dhanni itham. Wala tajassasu wala yaghtab ba'dukum ba'dha. Oh, you who believe, avoid and stay away from much suspicion, because indeed much suspicion is considered lying. It is considered sin. And do not spy on one another. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not backbite one another. تُحِبُّ أَن تَأْخُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيكَ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Do you like to eat the flesh of your brother? Indeed you would dislike that. So this is from the major sins and from the foul and lowly ways. Some of the salaf, they would say that الْغِيبَ مَرْعَى الْيَامِ. الْغِيبَ مَرْعَى الْيَامِ. الْيَامِ is the plural of لَئِيم. And لَئِيم is the opposite of كَرِيم. So someone who is كَرِيم, he's noble. He's generous. He has a lot of good characteristics and traits. A lot of virtuous traits and characteristics. It's called كَرِيم. The opposite is لَئِيم. Is لَئِيم. The opposite of كَرِيم. Sometimes when we hear the word كَرِيم, we think generous. Like somebody who gives money, for example. That's no doubt. But كَرِيم is more than that. كَرَم. Al-Karim is the one, somebody who's described with Karam, he's a person who has gathered many virtuous traits. Not just generosity. No, somebody who's Karim, Khulukun Karim, then he has gathered, alhamdulillah, a lot of virtuous traits. So he's generous, he's kind, he smiles, he's courteous, he's forbearing, he's humble, he's chaste, he's modest. All of these are the attributes of a person who's Karim. So the opposite of Kareem is La'im. So what is the translation of La'im then? A person who has gathered a whole lot of foul and lowly, despicable traits. So they called him a low life. A low life? Despicable. Somebody who's despicable. Somebody who has not just one bad trait, many bad traits. Not just one lowly trait, not one base desire. He's tried, no, many of them. He's known for that. He's a La'im. So the people of knowledge, they would say, al-ghiba mar'a al-liyam. mar'a aliyam. That the ghiba, backbiting, is the pastors of the lowlifes. And this is where the lowlifes go to graze. This is where the lowlifes go to graze. And many of them likewise, the salaf, they would mention that the one who backbites in reality, he's a coward. That's from the traits of the lowlifes, is that they're cowards. They're cowards. They don't have any courage and they don't have any bravery. So had that brother come to his face, he would not say anything. He would smile and pretend and the likes like this. But whenever his brother turns his back and he's not present and he can't defend himself, then he will go at him. He will take shots at him and the likes like this and take shots at his honor and his reputation. And this is because he's a coward. He's a coward. So this is from the lowly traits, backbiting and belittling others likewise. And even cursing. وَلَا يَحْكِرْ وَلَا يَحْكِرْ. There's a narration in Sahih Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. لَا يَظْلِمُ. He does not oppress him. وَلَا يَخْذُرُهُ. He does not abandon him in times of need. وَلَا يَحْكِرُهُ. He does not belittle him. أَتَقْوَ هَهُنَا وَيُشِيرُ إِلَى صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَقْوَ هَهُنَا. Three times, pointing to his breast, to his heart, his noble heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Piety lies here. Piety lies here. What does that mean? First, a Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He does not oppress him or do injustice to him. He does not abandon him in times of need. He does not belittle him. Piety is here. Piety is here. So that means then he's pointing to his heart, right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does that mean? If somebody oppresses his brother or violates his rights, or mocks him or belittles him, or abandons him in great times of need, what is that a sign of? That piety is not here. That piety is not here. Or the piety that's there is very weak. The piety that is there is very weak. Every believer has a level of piety, a level of iman, a level of sincere faith, a level of tawheed, or he will not be a believer. But if it's not cultivated properly, it can become tainted, it can become stained, it can become weak, it can become corrupted, it can become deficient. So a sign that it's strong is that a person, he does not oppress his brothers and he does not abandon them, nor does he belittle them, nor does he belittle them. He does not backbite them or mock them likewise. And this is a sign of taqwa. This is a sign of taqwa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It's sufficient. It's sufficient as evil for a believer to belittle his brother, for a person to belittle his Muslim brother. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. The Muslim in entirety is sacred upon the other Muslim. Your life is sacred. If I have taqwa, in my eyes, your life, your honor, your wealth, your family, your property, everything about you is sacred. I will not violate it. And if you have piety and sincere faith, when my life, my honor, my reputation, my wealth, my family, everything about me is sacred, you will not violate it. You will not violate it. You understand that? So from the means of corrupting Islam is to pit the believers against themselves. And this is what the enemies, they do. And the guise of protest, and in the guise of overthrowing the rulers, and another guise is likewise. Wallahu al-musta'an. His blood and his wealth and his reputation is all sacred. Is all sacred. So this is something that has happened from the early days, that this weakness had entered into the hearts of the believers, and they turned against each other, fighting one another. Waliyadhi billah, and the ummah little by little divided into different groups and different sects, different nations, different countries, with the aid of the disbelievers, of course, taking advantage of the likes of these ills and situations. Wallahu musta'an. The author, he says, وَلَا يَسُبُّ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَسُبُّ أَحَدًا. He does not curse anyone. He does not curse anyone, meaning he does not call them names. He does not call them names. So we have the issue of al-ghiba, and we have the issue of asab. Al-ghiba is to say what someone does not like in their absence. And as-sab wa shatam is to say what they do not like in their face, in their presence. And to say what they do not like, and to talk bad about them, to call them names. I should have said not necessarily to say what they do not like, because there's an aspect of that which is good. saying what people do not like. Sometimes you have to tell them that which they do not like. Anyone they're involved in that which is haram, or they're or they're falling short in performing the obligations. You let them know that, and maybe they do not like that. But what is intended here by asab wa shatam is to call them names. It's to call them names and to talk bad about them and to belittle them, to call them names or to slander them in their face or to defame them and the likes like this. This is called sab. So the author is saying that here, the person of the Quran, لا يسب أحدا. He does not curse anyone. It's been collected by At-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا باللعان ولا الفاحش البذيء. That a believer, ليس المؤمن. ليس المؤمن. The alif and lam here means, يعني المؤمن كامل الإيمان. يعني the alif and lam here, تفيدو استقراق الصفات. استقراق الصفات, meaning the true Muslim. The Muslim who has fulfilled the rights of his faith, he is not someone who defames others, talking bad about them. Nor is he someone who curses others, making dua against them. Nor is he someone who has a lowly tongue. ولا الفاحش البذيء. الفاحش, somebody who is indecent and has a lowly tongue, saying words and speaking about things that are lowly and that are despicable. So a believer, he's not like that. So what does that mean? If somebody is like that, somebody is known for making dua against the people all of the time, they're making dua against the people all of the time, or somebody who is known for defaming the people all of the time, and the likes like this, or he's known for having a lowly tongue, what is this a sign of? That he is laysa bil mu'min. Laysa bil mu'min kamil al iman. He's not a believer who has completed his faith, meaning that he has violated the rights of his faith. He has violated the rights of his faith, and therefore his faith is deficient. So now he has fallen from being a true believer to being a weak believer, to being a sinful believer, to being a corrupt believer in this manner like this. In this manner like this. So who would like for themselves to meet their Lord whenever it's said about him and his deen that he is a believer, but he's a sinful believer? Huh? These terms, we talked about them many times. مُؤْمِنٌ بِإِيمَانِهِ فَاسِقٌ بِكَبِيرَتِهِ. He's a believer because of his faith, but he's a fasiq because of his major sin. Or they call him مُؤْمِنٌ نَاقِسْ الْإِيمَانِ. مُؤْمِن نَاقِسْ الْإِيمَانِ. He's a believer with deficient faith. Or they call him مُؤْمِنْ عَاسٍ. He's a sinful believer. Or مُؤْمِنْ فَاجِر. A corrupt believer. He's مُؤْمِن, but he's fajir because he has fujur with him. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. He has corruption and evil with him, along with the fact that he has iman. So we do not strip iman from him like the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, nor do we to consider him a perfect believer like the Murji'a, whether we put him in his place. So we learn these affairs in order to not transgress the limits, but even more important than that, we learn these affairs so we can check our own souls, so we can take ourselves to account. Do I want to suffice with being a Muslim, or do I want to be a mu'min? Do I want to suffice with being a Muslim who is also described in the Book of Allah as ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, one who oppresses his own soul, or do I want to have a higher level than that? Do I want to expose my soul to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal and to being purified in the hellfire, or do I want to enter paradise with the first of those who enter upon honor and without any punishment and any reckoning? What is this? What would determine these affairs? That we're discussing right now. These manners and these conducts. These manners and this conduct. Remember our previous class? لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of paradise, the people of the hellfire, and the people of paradise, they're not equal. The people of paradise, they are the successful. They're the winners. They're the winners. So the people of paradise, they have creed, they have faith, they have deen, they have manners, they have conduct that they're upon that distinguishes them in this life from the people of the fire. And that's why in the hereafter they're distinguished from the people of the fire, and they are the successful. And they are the successful. So these are the traits and characteristics that we're learning about. That we're learning about. Alhamdulillah, we're learning about them. So a believer, he does not call the people names. He does not call the people names. Some people, they do that lightly. You're crazy. Huh? That's even calling people's names. Majnun, right? Or they call him Himar. Or they call him donkey. Or even worse than that in the English language. Or they say things about his mother or his father, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, or say things about his family, or whatever they can do to defame him, they do that. All of this is from, these are things that a believer, he does not do. That which a believer, he does not do. وَلَا يَشْمَتُ bi musiba, and he does not gloat over anyone's downfallings, and he's not happy whenever he sees the people in downfall. He's not happy about that. This is something that the enemies they do. The enemies they see the believers in a downfall, and they rejoice over that. So we do not rejoice over the downfall of any Muslim. Even if a Muslim he fell off of the path, he would not rejoice over that. This will hurt his heart. That if his brother was misguided or fell into sin, many people whenever they find out about a Muslim falling into sin, oh, I know he was like that, and they rejoice and they're happy for him. Waliyadhibillah, this is not from sincere faith. We all know the hadith number 13, right? Hadith number 13 from the 40 hadith. What hadith is that? Or 14? Hadith Anas. 13, huh? Hadith Anas, radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. What he loves for himself. So this requires likewise that a person he would dislike for his brother that which he dislikes for himself. So the same way a person dislikes to fall into sin, he would dislike that for his brother if he has true faith. So the fact that somebody is rejoicing over the downfall of his brother Muslim, this is a sign of a weakness of faith likewise. This is a sign of a weakness of faith likewise. So a believer, he's not like that. A believer, he's not like that. A weak Muslim may be like that, but a believer, he's not like that. He's not like that. He says, Rahimahullah, وَلَا يَبْغِي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَحْسُدُ وَلَا يُسِيءُ الظَّنَّ بِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمَنِ اسْتِحَقٍ. He says, وَلَا يَبْغِي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَحْسُدُهُ وَلَا يُسِيءُ الظَّنَّ بِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَسْتِحَقٍ. He does not oppress anyone, nor does he envy them or harbor ill thoughts of others, except in cases where it is justified based on knowledge. Except in cases where it is justified based on knowledge. So he does not transgress or oppress anyone. He does not violate their rights and go beyond the limits. Nor does he envy them. Al-hasid is karahat al-ni'mah. The person who is hasud, the one who is jealous, the people of knowledge, they call him aduwu al-ni'mah. Aduwu al-ni'mah. The one who is jealous, he is the enemy of blessings. He's the enemy of blessings. And in reality, he has a great problem and deficiency in his creed and deficiency in his faith, particularly with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because who is the one who disposes blessings? It is Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever you have from blessing is from Allah. So if somebody has a blessing, that's a blessing that Allah has provided for them. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Who knows best about the creation and who deserves what blessing? And who should have which blessing and who should not have which blessing? Allah Azza wa Jal. So if one is jealous over the blessings of others and he dislikes that they have blessings, he dislikes the fact that they have blessings, then he is actually in opposition to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because it is Allah has decreed that he will have that blessing. He will have that blessing. So the issue of jealousy is many levels. The issue of jealousy is a number of levels. The lowest level is to dislike others having blessings. If a person, he just simply dislike others having blessings, this is from hasid. If he's seen others having blessings and he didn't like that. Even if he didn't wish that person to lose it, or he didn't wish that to come to him, or he didn't do anything about it, or even say anything, but it's in his heart, he dislikes it. Whenever he sees others having blessings, it bothers him. This is from al-hasid. A level greater than that, waliyadhi billah, that it would grow in his heart until now he wished that person didn't have it in the first place. He will wish in his heart. Not only does he not like him to have the blessing, but he will wish that something would happen to it. It would go away. He wish he would lose that blessing. He doesn't need it. He doesn't deserve it. And he will have this in his heart. If it continued to grow, then he will wish that his blessings came to him. He wished that now he would have his blessings. He would have the blessings that he has. This is all from hasid. There's different levels. And finally, the worst of that, waliyadhi billah, if it truly takes root in his heart, he will start to work to remove those blessings from him himself. He will start to work to remove those blessings from him himself, with his tongue, with his hands, with his plots, with his schemes, and the likes like this. All of this is from al-hasid, and this is a lowly way. This is a lowly way. The people of knowledge, they mentioned about al-hasid, jealousy, that even somebody who is a person of jealousy himself, if he sees somebody else being jealous, he does not like it. He does not like it. It's blameworthy altogether. Even the one who does it himself, when he sees it, he says, oh man, he's jealous. He does not like it when other people are jealous, even if he himself is trying by jealousy. It's a lowly trait. It's a lowly trait. وَلَا يُسِيءُ الظَّنَّ بِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَسْتَحِقُ. And he does not have bad thoughts. He does not harbor. He does not harbor ill thoughts of others, thinking bad about them, suspecting bad about them, except in cases where it's justified and based upon knowledge. This has been clarified likewise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنْ فَإِنَّ ظَنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Watch out, beware from suspicion, because suspicion is the most false of speech. And it's the greatest means to fall into lies. And as Allah mentioned, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Some of suspicion is sin. And meaning that a person, if he does not check his soul, he will start to suspect, and then he will be going to intricate details, accusing people of things that are not true. They're imaginations that he has made up in his mind that are not true about people. And this is not allowed. So this is something that a person, he will avoid. So whenever these suggestions come from the devil and the likes like this, a person, he will repel that. He will make dua for that person. Whenever bad thoughts come about another believer in the heart, the way to remove that, the jealousy comes in the heart, or the likes like this, the way to remove that, the way to repel that, the way to deal with the devil with regards to this, is to make dua for that person. May Allah bless him, may Allah increase him, may Allah aid him, may Allah give him, may Allah strengthen him, may Allah, like this, until the devil, he's going to go away, he's going to leave you alone with regards to that person. And if you do not do that, you know, if you entertain these ideas, it will grow. The jealousy will grow. It's like a fire, like a wildfire. It will take root in the heart. When the other building, it will burn, and it will be problematic. And the people who have this jealousy and these suspicions and the likes like this, they'll busy themselves. Their mind will run and work on these affairs, and it will affect their heart. It will affect their heart, and it will bother them. It will become problematic in their life, their jealousy or the suspicion that they have in the likes like this. So to check this by making dua for them and leave it, and then to try to make an excuse. And anytime a person is able to make an excuse for his brother, he will make an excuse for them. Anytime a believer, he says something that could be understood in more than one way is good and correct, and the other way is suspicious, then you give him the benefit of the doubt, and you carry it on the good manner, the good understanding. And the likes like this, unless there are qara'in, unless there are circumstantial evidences clarifying like otherwise. Unless there are circumstantial evidences clarifying otherwise. As for when there are circumstantial evidences clarifying otherwise, one, he will not think good about them. And it's only from the ways of the fools to think good about people who have placed themselves in situations and circumstances of blame. And they have seen that, especially if it's reoccurring. One time you make an excuse, two times you make an excuse, three times, four times after that, the same situation, now it becomes suspicious. Now a person, he has a right to blame them. Now he has a right to blame them and to think bad about them. Somebody who comes in the masjid smelling like weed, for example, you're going to think good about them? You're going to think good about them? He comes in the masjid smelling like weed, smelling like marijuana. If you know him, maybe the first time he's astaghfirullah, maybe he's riding with those brothers. Then he comes again. I think he's smoking it. He's not riding with them only, right? It's gonna become the suspicion is gonna be affirmed by his circumstances and situations. It's been narrated from Umar, a narration that is well known. He said, radiyallahu anhu, "من أقام نفسه مقام التهم فلا يرمن من أساء ظن به فلا يرمن من أساء ظن به." Whoever puts himself in situations of blame and accusation, any unquestionable, suspicious places, then let him not blame the one who thinks bad about him. Then let him not blame the one who thinks bad about him. If he's riding around with the brothers who are known for smoking weed, and he's riding around with them, we see him in the street in the car with those brothers smoking weed, bobbing his head and the lights like this, then don't let him not get mad at us whenever we think bad about him. Don't get mad at us if we think bad about you. You're the one riding with those brothers smoking weed. At-tuyur ala ashkariha taqa. You know that one? Al-tuyur ala ashkariha taqa. You know that one? What is that? Birds of a feather flock together. So we would not think good about that person. If there are situations and circumstances leading us to find out that he has these issues, then we're not thinking good about him. A person is cursing the Muslim rulers, for example. We're not going to think good about him, even if he talked about tawheed all day long. Even if he talked about Tawheed all day long, even I love Abu Bakr. Well, why are you cursing the ruler? That's not going to help you with this. It's not going to help you with it. Talk about Tawheed all you like, you violated that. Same way if they talk about the decree, you violate the Qadr. Or you talk about the Iman, is not from, actions are not from Iman. Any of these usul that are from the usul of the deen, he can talk about Tawheed and Sunnah all he likes and banners of Salafiyya, but he violates one of these principles, that's it. That's it. We're not going to think good about him. You don't think good about innovators, people of deviation, people of open and apparent sin, people who have companions that are lowly and foul and they're known by them. You don't think good about them. Only a person who is a fool would think good about them. People are known for lying. People are known for deception. People are known for taking advantage of others. They become known for that. If you think good about him after you know that about him, it's only your fault. It's only your fault. Only a fool would do that. Only a fool would do that. So there's another narration by Omar likewise. This was in Sahih Bukhari. We close with this one, inshallah. That he said, radiallahu anhu, inna unasin kanu yu'khaduna bil wahi fi ahdi rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, indeed, there were people who were taken to account by revelation in the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Situations would become known. People would become exposed. Or people would be defended likewise. By way of what? By way of the revelation. Maybe someone would be accused rightfully, and he would lie, and then he would be exposed. Or somebody would be accused unrightfully, and they would lie against him, and then revelation would come, and they would be exposed, and they would also be freed of their honor and their blame. And the situations are well known. So he's saying, indeed, there were people who used to be taken to account by the revelation in the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِنَّ الْوَحْيَ قَدْ انْقَطَعَ. But now the revelation has ceased. وَإِنَّمَا نَأْخُذُكُمْ الْآنَ بِمَا ظَهَرَ لَنَا مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. And now we only take you to account. Now we only take you to account based upon that which is apparent to us from your deeds. And now we only hold you accountable and consider you and who you are with us based upon what is apparent from your actions. فَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ لَنَا خَيْرًا أَمِنَّاهُ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ وَلَيْسَ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ سَرِيرَتِهِ شَيْءٍ. So therefore, whoever shows goodness, apparently what is known from him is goodness, then we will trust him, we'll bring him close, and we do not say anything about what is in his inner life, in his heart, or in his breast, in his intention, and in his private life. وَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ لَنَا سُوءًا لَمْ نُؤَمِّنْهُ وَلَمْ نُصَدِّقُهُ وَإِنْ قَالَ إِنَّ سَرِيرَتَهُ حَسَنًا. And the one who displays evil to us, harm, bad to us, we will not trust him, we will not believe him. Even if it's said about him, oh no, he's a good person. Oh no, he's a good person. This is the case. We deal with the people in this manner, that which is apparent. Those who show us good, alhamdulillah, we accept that from them. We think good about them, and we don't think bad about them. And it's a sin to think bad about people who show and display good. It's a sin to think bad about the people who show and display to display good. إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمٌ أَيَّاكُمْ وَظَنِّ فَإِنَّهُ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. But also, it's from the wrong way, the wrong understanding, to think good about people who show you contrary. The people who show, display evil, they've been known for lying, they've been known for treachery, they've been known for taking advantage, playing on words, and the likes like this. They've been known for getting over on people, they've been known for major sin, they've been known for lying, they've been known for hanging out with innovators, so on and so forth. They've been known for keeping company with the Khawarij and the likes like this, or making excuses for people who are clearly upon the wrong methodology and way. They're known for that. Then we don't think good about them. They don't think good about them. This is from the ways of the people of the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You see how encompassing the religion is. How encompassing the religion is. Going back to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are upon a high level of manners. What did Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhu say about that? عَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. Ala deenin, upon a great religion. You are upon a great religion and way of life. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.